Today, answers matter more than ever before. That's why IBM is helping businesses manage customer questions with Watson Assistant. It's conversational AI designed to work for any industry. Let's put smart to work. Visit ibm.com/Watson Assistant.
I appreciate you guys tuning in. Just a quick reminder here. 710 ESPN wants to spotlight and give a shout-out to high school and college seniors for their achievements in academics and athletics. You can nominate a classmate, friend, or yourself. Here's how you do it. Email the station, ESPNLAMarketing@ESPN.com. Provide your first name, your last name, city, school, and sport, or post a short video of yourself or a classmate on Twitter or Instagram using the hashtag 710SeniorShoutout. Each of our shows, including the Sliwa Show, will highlight one of these seniors every day next week. Be sure to listen to hear your senior on 710 ESPN. I did put up a tweet on this earlier today, so all the information that you want at Alan Sliwa. Andy Kamenitsky joining the show. AK, so before I, in crosstalk, Ireland asked me to throw out the phone number, 530-ESPN-710. Do you know what that number is for?
530, say it again.
530-ESPN-710.
I do not know what that's for, actually.
So that is a chance for Mason and Ireland listeners to leave a voicemail for Mason and Ireland. And if the voicemail is good enough, they're going to play it on air.
Nice.
Yeah, so they're kind of thinking out of the box, these guys. You know, they're.
I may have Lily call it, my daughter.
Oh, 100. Listen. On air. The only reason why they kept pushing, they're saying, that's cool, you're going to have Andy on, awesome. Can you get Lily on? So 200% she should be leaving a message.
They're very into the Kamenetsky children.
The family. It's the whole family.
Yes. the next generation of radio great.
AK, you were mentioning this, and I think it's such a – it's so important, and we'll kind of figure things out as we go, but the – sports can't get it wrong part, right? When we come back and we potentially have games, you're right, they can't, like, you can't take a chance where you wanted to come back too early and then a player, let's say the NBA is in the middle of the playoffs and they end up doing this thing in Las Vegas. We'll use that as an example. And they're in round one of the postseason and a player tests for COVID-19. AK, the playoffs are done. You know, like, you can't do anything about it from there. Then you have to – both teams are going to have to obviously be in quarantine for 14 days. What are you going to just continue the playoffs and take those two teams out? You said it perfectly. And I'm not saying that there isn't an incredible amount of pressure down the road to get it right, and I know it's going to be very difficult for all the leagues. But you said it the right way. You can't mess it up, because if you mess it up, you got to pretty much cancel the season.
Well, what you really can't do is mess it up in a way that makes it look like you were callous or you were willing to take chances. I mean, a situation like this,
where you went for the dollar,
right? Well, I mean, a situation like this, I don't know if it's possible to do it in a way where you know it's going to turn out correctly. I mean, just
right.
Because there's so much about this that we don't know. I mean, I've seen reports where there's some concerns about a resurgence of coronavirus later in the year.
Yep.
You know, where it could tamper down, then ratchet back up again. So, I mean, there are certain parameters and certain variables that they're not going to be able to plan for, and you have to work within that. I just think what you can't do is start sports back up again at a time when you would seem to be going against the advice of the experts, and that's ultimately what they need to be doing. It's got to look like it's something that's feasible in its safety. I mean, you know, if there's an unexpected turn that comes from it, but it looks like they were really trying to do it as safely as possible in a way that was as realistic as possible, that's one thing. But if the scenario you described, where there ends up an outbreak or somebody testing positive during the playoffs, when the NBA started this up quicker than it seemed wise, they've got a massive PR and, frankly, a massive ethical problem on their hands.
Yeah, and I've kind of said this. There's been a few people, I think Mark Cuban has been very optimistic, which I'm not saying don't be optimistic. You know, what you don't just want is maybe create a little false hope, right? That, yes, you're optimistic that things are going to turn around. I mentioned this. I don't know. Did you read Dabo Swinney earlier today? Did you hear what he had to say?
Yeah.
I'm going to read it off right now. He says, my preference is let's go, let's get to work and go play. That's the best case scenario, and I think that's what's going to happen. I don't have any doubt. I have zero doubt that we're going to be playing and stands are going to be packed. Okay. When I hear that, now I know this is like his mindset, and I know it's coach talk. That sounds like a rallying cry in the middle of the locker room at halftime when you're down a touchdown. So I know that that's part of Dabo Swinney, and I know you want to be extremely optimistic, but I also think, I mean, we kind of mentioned this maybe a little bit earlier about stands, like players or fans. I mean, I don't have much confidence, let's say, that even if sports does come back when it does, that there's going to be the Rose Bowl is going to be packed, right? Or the Coliseum or Staples Center. I have to imagine that's going to be way down the road. Maybe I'm wrong, but what do you think of what Dabo said?
Well, I mean, look, it's funny, actually. We sometimes mock coaches in sports when they get asked about something that's, you know, either political or non-sports, but is top of mind for everybody, and they dodge the question just saying, you know, basically with a stick to sports type answer, and
yeah,
we get on them for, you know, not living in the real world. You know, an answer like that from Dabo Swinney shows that's actually for the best. Look, I get what he's saying, and I get what he's trying to maintain in terms of positivity. And, you know, I would really take issue with Swinney if he was, you know, trying to argue with the experts, or if he was trying to downplay the actual
sure
epidemic itself. And to the best of my knowledge, that's not something he said. And I think if he had, we'd know. You know, I mean, he said later that same day that, you know, this is America, man. We've stormed the beaches of Normandy. We've sent a rover out on Mars and walked on the moon. This is the greatest country. We created an iPhone where I can sit here and talk to people in all these different places. Got the smartest people in the world. We're going to rise up, kick this thing in the teeth, and get back to our lives. It's a great message, and he's not wrong. But all of those things that he mentioned that we did, to the best of my knowledge, didn't take place during an epidemic when everybody had to stay home. You know what I mean? Like where you have this variant
sure
with this virus that you can't see it, you can't control it, it's not fully understood yet, and that's the type of, you know, X factor that makes everything that he's talking about really difficult. I also agree with you. If we are fortunate enough to have a college football season, it's not going to be with people in the stands. I mean, it's going to be played out with as few people as possible, you know, in the presence of this game, because that's mm-hmm the safest way to do it. You know, I mean, forget the ethical of it, just the liability. Like, you could put yourself in a really precarious legal position if you're the NCAA and you start packing stands. Particularly, too, I mean, if we're really being honest, some of the regions, you know, the big, like, SEC football regions are some of the regions that aren't doing as much social distancing or quarantining or anything like that.
Right.
So, you know, some of these regions, you know, even if they're not hot spots now or not heavily affected now, they, you know, their lifeblood is college football. If they really want to try to up the odds of not just having football take place, but, you know, hope against hope, having people in those stands, all of those people need to start being inside now. Mm-hmm. Like, they need to be inside right now, whether it's a, you know, a governor's order or a state order or anything like that. If you're, you know, if you're Clemson, for example, and you want to make sure that there is some type of Clemson season for you to watch in person, you need to be encouraging everybody, you know, in the South to be staying inside, and, you know, frankly, across the entire country.
Hey, Kay, are you much of a gamer? Do you watch? First of all, do you play any games? Any of these esports or anything?
I do not allow myself a video game system in the home for myself,
okay,
because I know I won't get anything done. I work too often from home, so I won't let myself have this.
Are you going to watch at all? I'm going to give a quick – this is the live play-by-play that we're at right now. Milwaukee's playing the Lakers. Hassan Whiteside is the Lakers. Patrick Beverley is the Milwaukee Bucks. It's 24-18. Lakers are down 6, 24-20 right now, with about 5.5 to go in the second quarter. Will you watch any of this stuff?
It depends. Do I get to hear Patrick Beverley?
That's the one thing that I keep emphasizing. So I saw KD a little bit earlier today, and it was so quiet and so dry. He was with Jones Jr. from Miami that I was, in my head, I was like, this isn't exciting at all. But if you get somebody a little chippy, talking a little, you know what, I think it could be a little bit more entertaining.
Oh, Patrick Beverley, I would watch him do this. And by the way, too, it should be noted for Patrick Beverley. You said he's playing the Bucks, right, against the Lakers?
He is correct. The Bucks. Yep, he is the Bucks, and he's going up against the Lakers.
Well, for Patrick Beverley, that's a revenge game because he was originally drafted by the Lakers and then traded to Miami. And I guarantee you, Patrick Beverley hasn't forgotten.
He woke up so early this morning, ready to go. I could just see him doing push-ups. I could see him just getting ready for this game. You know, it's an interesting concept. Like, I get what they're doing, and I think there's something to it. But it's just kind of comical that this is – who would have thought, that this is the programming, the content that's on this time of the year. Okay, I want to ask you another quick one. So we I started off the show and I was talking about just – look, the Lakers were rolling, right? They were in such a good position to at least be one of these handful of teams that got a shot at an NBA championship coming off the win against Milwaukee and the Clippers. Do you think this season, let's say it doesn't play out or it does, but LeBron's tenure with the Lakers, do you think this is probably their best shot at a chip with LeBron James, or do you feel like, no, they'll have as good as a shot next year as they could have had or will have this season?
Well, I mean, first of all, let's not get ahead of ourselves about next year. I mean, I hate to sound super pessimistic, but there's no guarantee of when the 2021 season is going to get going and how that plays out. You know, who's actually on the team. You know, they may have to reconfigure how certain things work for free agency. You know, like, so it's a little bit hard to figure out, but I mean, the Lakers this year do have more holdovers, at least potentially, in terms of continuity with next year's roster. Like, they don't have a lot of impending free agents of note. I mean, off the top of my head, the biggest would be Dwight, correct?
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, if you're trying to think about these in relatively normal terms, and whatever that means these days, you know, the Lakers would have continuity, and that would help them in terms of trying to, you know, pick up where they left off. And, you know, as much as LeBron has said that he doesn't necessarily think that the time off would help him heading into the playoffs, that, you know, he would feel more rust than rest. You know, we saw this year how LeBron looked both invested by having Anthony Davis, but also from having a summer off. And, you know, this could theoretically be a spring and a summer. And for somebody of LeBron's mileage, that can't possibly be a bad thing. And if you're looking for LeBron to be defying the clock and, you know, defying age even further, I guess this is the best potential scenario for that. That being said, the best opportunity you have to win a championship is always the one that is realistically in front of you. And the Lakers had an extremely realistic chance of winning a championship. Yeah. They were one of the two or three best positioned teams to do it. And, you know, obviously, if they don't get a chance to, you know, if they don't get a chance to bring it all to fruition this year, it'll be through no fault of their own, obviously, but it will be a literally lost opportunity for them.
The TV is muted right now, but I could see Pat Beverley just running his mouth to Hassan Whiteside. He took a 13-point lead, so I think this is a perfect moment. We got to call timeout. Lakers are down 13 against Milwaukee. I don't know about you, AK, but yeah, I just don't feel like we're being represented well by Hassan Whiteside. That's all. That's all. I just want to point that out right now.
He's never been known as the most coachable player, which I guess makes you question some of his overall coaching acumen.
Right.
You know, like maybe he's not He's not necessarily the best at managing a team or being managed,
in my AK, that's great stuff, man. Hey, I appreciate you doing this. I know it's a Friday night, but hang out for this long, it's greatly appreciated.
Cancel my plans for you,
Alan. Thank you, AK.
For you.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome, man.
All right, buddy. All right, man. You too. Thank you. All right, that's Andy Kamenitsky right there. Yeah, I'm always curious to get – we've hit on a lot of these different topics. I'm always kind of curious to get AK's thoughts on whether it's the basketball-related stuff or outside of basketball, but I appreciate him hopping on the show. Jess, we got halftime coming up. Is it halftime next? Is that what we're doing here?
Time for halftime coming up.
Okay. All right. So stick around, LA. If you're listening on the app, you're driving around, we greatly appreciate you doing that. I'll keep you guys posted on this esports games. That's where we are right now. Esports games going on. Halftime is coming up. Coming up next, Jesse Curtis will hop in as well. Stay right here. This is the Sliwa Show on 710 ESPN. Fellas, how we doing out there?
We're being safe,
okay.
Being quarantined, and just living the quarantine life.
Show's kind of over here. I miss you guys.
Curtis, thank you, man.
It's really weird being here by myself. 100% by myself is weird.
Don't worry, we're 100% by ourselves as well. Don't worry.
I have a dog around here somewhere.
Dog would be perfect right now. But a dog would be perfect right now. Just kind of a dog chilling, especially going on all these walks and stuff like that. I wish I didn't live. I live in a studio, so it's like it's not conducive for a dog. It's not conducive. I don't have like a yard that I feel like a dog can.
You don't need a big dog. You just need a small house dog.
Yeah.
I mean, the dog that I have, I forget what kind of breed it is.
Oh, okay.
It's not a, because it's my girlfriend's dog. It was a dog I inherited. I didn't necessarily pick and choose, but I love the little guy. But he is a little brat. Gets real mad.
But the dog's like, am I right on this, that just dogs are, doesn't matter what's going on, what you've done, what's going on in the world, the moment you come home, they're like, oh, this is the greatest day in the world. And then you leave for 30 minutes, and the dog's like, this is just amazing. They're always happy.
Oh, yeah. So get this, my dog. I leave him – when we leave for the day or whatever, we keep him locked in the kitchen, and then he can just roam around there. And we have dog pads on the floor so he can go pee and poo. So one day I just went to get like an oil change or something. I was only gone for like half an hour, and he was super sad. He was like clawing on the wall and on the door, and he's like, take him with you. I'm like, no, I'm not gonna take you with me, because stay mm-hmm. and relax. You have the whole kitchen to yourself. I just mm-hmm. refilled his water bowl, his
he
food.
Was good to go. You're at home, chill, have some water. I get it, you're setting him up.
Yeah, so I leave. I come back. This little guy somehow, he peed and pooed on the floor, completely missing the pads, because he completely just – it looked like
– He lost it.
He lost it for being alone.
Yeah, he lost it. He wasn't feeling it.
No, definitely wasn't feeling it.
Curtis, you got a pet or no?
No, I was never really able to have one, so I haven't been fortunate enough yet. That's a plan eventually, but – right now, obviously, it's impossible for me, at least.
Okay. All right. Let's do some halftime, fellas. Let's do some halftime.
Let's do it. So, just kind of mindlessly scrolling along Twitter, I just saw something interesting.
Okay. What do you got?
So, earlier today, Woj reported that the Bulls have started a former search to hire a new top executive with full authority of basketball decisions. And they have a number of lists of candidates that they want to choose. But about an hour and a half ago, Dwayne Wade retweeted Woj and said, I know someone.
So what's he trying to do? He's trying to get, like, front office? I didn't even know he had interest in that.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. You know, he's from Chicago.
I know. That's his home turf right there.
The Bulls have definitely, ever since Jordan left, they haven't really done anything, been anything. Bringing someone in like D. Wade would definitely at least make a stir.
Well, I'd say this. I'll say this on D. Wade, too. Dwayne Wade, first of all, was a student of the game. Like, Dwayne Wade might be one of the greatest shooting guards of all time. When I say might be, whatever, top five, top seven, wherever you want to put him. I don't have a list of, the shooting guards in front of me. But Dwayne Wade was the man. Dwayne Wade got three NBA championships. Dwayne Wade is a basketball aficionado. You know, like I don't think that, and he's like close enough to the game where you know he has a lot of relationships still. If the Bulls really haven't gone in much of a direction, I would definitely take a meeting with Dwayne Wade and see, you know, what his vision and what his plan is. Why wouldn't you? And he's from Chicago. That sounds like that would be a very interesting fit.
Yeah, and for the Bulls at this point, you got to say, why not? What do they have to lose?
Curtis, I got a very important question for you. Because we're talking Chicago, deep dish or thin crust?
You know, I used to really like deep dish, but now it's too much dough for me. So I actually like thin crust now. It's weird. It didn't used to be that way.
Jess, you a Chicago style or New York style when it comes to pizza?
Nah, I like that thin crust. I mean, I was all used to I'll be same as Curtis. Used to be all about the dough, but lately, you know, carbs and whatnot. Just give me that thin crust all day.
I'll thin crust the whole all day.
I don't know if it's
all
placebo,
day thin crust.
But I feel less gross after eating thin crust pizza than I do a normal one. You know what I mean? Like, it's not great either way, but
no, because you can.
But it's a difference. It's actually a big difference. Crust. Yeah, I think it's a big difference. I got a quick story. I went to New York, I don't know how long, maybe whatever, 4 or 5 years ago or so. Went got their regular New York slice. You know what's a very, very underrated city for pizza? Boston. Boston has outstanding pizza. They have a North End area. The North End district is it's all Italian, so it's all like their Italian district, North End. Amazing. I would actually say the best pizza I've had, best slice of pizza I had, I think was in Boston. Like, it was that good.
Wow, Boston. I don't think I would have expected that.
Yeah. No, I know. All right. I'm taking us left and right. Go ahead, Jess. Go ahead.
No, now you got me thinking about pizza. I think I got to order some.
Me too.
All right. So, Alan, I'm sure you've heard the name Tony Hawk.
Of course.
Pro skater.
Mm-hmm.
But did you also know he is a pro poker player?
No idea.
So, I somehow found this clip from 2016 at a celebrity charity poker game where mm-hmm. Tony Hawk was playing professional poker player Maria Hill. Now, I have a video clip to show, but just know that before you hear the video clip, on the pot, they're playing a Texas Hold'em. So, poker, the same kind of rules apply. There was nothing. Legit, there was nothing on the table. No one had a pair. No one had nothing. But the reaction that happened in this clip is gold. So this is from 2016. Tony Hawk, professional soul reader.
Neither player has anything, and they're both fighting for it despite four clubs being out there. I love this kind of stuff.
Tony has the wheel draw. That's the only thing we can imagine that he's calling with. But without a club,
this is crazy. Six high against seven high. Maria's trying to – what's he doing?
No! He just called!
This is the weirdest thing I've ever seen.
He just called in seven high. It's going to be good!
Wait,
for a second before you
just put wait watch this in. When she Maria sees his hand.
Oh, no! Give us the tight shot of Maria. Look at this.
Oh, my God.
What just happened there? Did you just soul read me? You called me with the only hand
literally
that beats me by a notch that doesn't like actually
I don't know what to say.
Make
he's a soul reader
or connect.
I'm just trying to make you reevaluate your whole.
Oh my God!
Did you know that there were four spades on the flop and you had two red cards in your hand, Tony? Like
absolutely.
What? I just got soul red.
Okay.
Maria thought she had called Tony Hawk's bluff.
Okay.
She called, and right away, Tony called right away. She had a 6 and a 3, and she called. And Tony, right away, without hesitation, called for a 7 and 3. They both had diddly squat, and neither of them
folded. Both have no idea what they're doing. Or they're just both – were they both bluffing, or they just don't know what they're doing?
No. Well, it looked like Tony didn't really know what he's doing, but apparently he did. He called our bluff by calling his own bluff for everyone else.
Can I say this about poker? Can I say this about poker real quick? There's nothing better. Maybe five or six players is perfect, right? Just a group of your buddies hanging out, poker table, some food, couple drinks, whatever the case is. There really is nothing better than that. The only thing that sucks about that is if you're out early – man, you are sitting around for a long time waiting for the next game, but nothing better. I heard Ireland saying it during their show that he's doing, I think, like a virtual poker game where I don't know how many different buddies of his are all going to be a part of the game, and they'll all, Skype or whatever they play, and then they'll just have games going on, everybody from home. That's a genius idea. I love the idea.
Oh, yeah, there's definitely ways to basically set up like an online gaming room with and send out like a code to all your friends, and they all join and they all play like online on a computer or on a phone.
That's what I got to do. Mm-hmm. That's what I got to do right there.
Set up the Alan Sliwa Invitational? Alan Sliwa Poker Tournament? We got to get a good name for that.
That'd be fun with listeners. Just have 10, 12, whatever the table is, and just hang, or maybe like 8 players or something like that, hang out, talk sports, and go from there. That's not a bad idea.
You know who might be onto something. Dealer?
Who's that? 100%.
Ah, yes.
100%. Manuel and Gardena absolutely should be the dealer. All right, let's keep rolling here.
Moving on. So, beginning this Monday on the NFL Red Zone Network, they will re-air every Sunday from the past 2019 season in chronological order for 17 consecutive days. So, starting on Monday, April 6th, week 1. Tuesday, April 7th, week 2, week 3, week 4, consecutively. The games will start at 5 a.m., at noon, and at 7 each day. So, Alan, I ask you, if you can watch one game from this past year, any game from week 1 through 17, what game would it be?
You know who had great battles is right in the NFC West, Seattle and San Francisco. Great, great games. I don't remember, which game specifically, what week it was, but I know they had some great battles. What is it? When was it?
So
and I
it
think
was,
it was a Seattle, or it maybe it was a Frisco games, home game.
Because both games, San Francisco and 49ers, that they both played went down to the wire. The first game they played went down to the legit end of OT that ended in a Seattle win at the end of OT in Frisco at the Levi Stadium at the end of the week, week 17, for the number one seed potentially.
That's right.
Round one.
Week 17, yep. 49ers. 49ers won the other one.
49ers won by the skin of their hair. The game was going down to the end. Russell Wilson was at the 2, and guess what he did? He threw the ball, and the tight end was just short. And they lost the game.
Oh, yeah, that's right. I stopped right at the goal line. That's right. Stopped there was another good game. Frisco, Rams at San Francisco was another great game. I mean, there were some really, really good NFL games. If you look postseason, some of the Kansas City runs. Actually, Kansas City had some good regular season games as well. But, yeah, I would go the Seattle-San Francisco matchup in the NFC West, to me, that was they had battles in the season. So I'll take either one of those two games.
I would take any game with the 49ers because that's my team and I love them. This season was just magical. It's great, so I'm all about it. I'll probably catch it just to see if in passing I see one of the Niners games on. If I see it, you best believe I'm gonna sit there and watch it.
Okay, I got a game for you guys.
Let's go. It's
time. I'm gonna find out how well that you guys know me. Okay.
Oh, this is gonna be good.
So I'm gonna ask a question. And it doesn't have to be a buzz or anything like that. I'm just going to ask a question, and you're just going to answer it, okay? So, Curtis, I'll start with you. What do you think is my second favorite sport?
I don't know. That's a tough one. Lately, it's been baseball. It feels like you got into that real quick, but I'll go with football.
All right, so Curtis goes football. Jess, football or another sport?
You know what? I was going to say football. Can I get really like super specific here? I'm going to say it's college. Not just football. College
football. Okay. College football. Okay. Jess, you are down 1-0. You are down 1-0. NFL is my second favorite sport. College is fantastic. Mm-hmm. College is great. And I think actually one of the best days in sports is the semifinals where both – the top four teams are both playing on the same day. Like, that's an amazing day. but I just the NFL, like the whole from start to finish, I can watch it. We know the players. We know the teams. College, sometimes I get distracted. There's too many teams, many conferences. It's just like overwhelming.
You know who's a college football junkie is Sedano. Sedano says he would get up and watch that early game on a Saturday. It doesn't matter who it is, and he just be he's a junkie for it.
Where did he go to school? Where did he go to college? Did he go to Miami, University of Miami, or no?
I would guess, but
you know what?
It's
a good question. Let's do a good simple Google search.
George, check to see where he went. I'm gonna get to the second question here. So I'm testing both of you of how well you guys know me. Okay, my favorite former Laker between these two players. All right, so most Laker fans are gonna know back in the days, the early '90s to mid '90s or so, Nick Van Exel and Eddie Jones were. That was the squad. That was the Lakers squad. So between those two players, who do you guys think was my favorite player? I love them both, by the way. But Curtis, you go first.
I'll go Nick Van Exel.
Nick the Quick or Eddie? Okay, you go Nick. Who do you think, Jess? Nick or Eddie?
I'm really sad. I really thought one of your options was going to be Smush Parker. But I'm going to go Nick Van Exel as well.
Well, remember, I was going through that 90s period just between those two players. So Eddie Jones was by far one of my favorite players, and I don't know what it was, but I remember for all my email, like my passwords, they were all Eddie Jones. It's like, what can you remember?
Someone's going to hack your MySpace
yeah,
now.
I hope you changed all your passwords already. Because see, now everyone's going to go Alan Sliwa at whatever.com. All right.
Yep.
LeBron. 23. No, dang it. Lakers 16. No, dang it.
Kobe. I love how Curtis said that they're going to hack into my MySpace. Definitely, Curtis. Definitely 100%. I spent a lot of time
like
on MySpace these
MySpace.
Days. 100%. And I'm on it all the time.
Am I in your top 8?
Yes. Yes, Jesse. You're my top 8. right. Okay. All right. Am I more of a I want you guys to think about this. Give it thought. Am I more of a pizza guy or am I more of a hamburger guy?
You're way more of a pizza guy.
Curtis, give it thought.
I want to say pizza, but I mean, I've never seen you eat either. So I'll go hamburger just because.
Yeah, I just tricked you there, Curtis. Jesse, you got a point right there, buddy. Mm-hmm. It's 1-1. All right, let's keep going. What position in basketball did I play in high school? Was I a shooting guard or a point guard?
You were definitely a point guard. If you were a shooting guard, you'd be talking like Ireland talks about how when he back in his playing days, all he did was shoot. You're definitely someone that would watch the game and be like, all right, no, I got to set up my teams this way, and you know when you can take your shot.
Okay. Jess goes point guard. Curtis, shooting guard or point guard?
I'm going to go shooting guard because your big game's Lee Stacks.
Okay. Curtis, you're up 2-1. You're up 2-1 right now. One
son
more, fellas.
Son.
Okay, but here's the thing. Let me say this. I should have been a point guard. But I was always the shooting guard, and I was also very unathletic, so there's a lot of things
center,
that were going on. Yeah, you shut up. Okay, final question. This one is worth 2 points. As you could tell, I pretty much copied a little bit of the way Fast Track at the end. If you're down, you still
have
a chance
idea
to win.
What I'm talking about.
It's okay. Ireland doesn't listen. He won't know.
My favorite video game, is it Mario Kart or FIFA?
Oh, it's definitely Mario Kart.
I'll go FIFA. Curtis? FIFA's fun to play even if you're not a soccer guy.
Mario Kart is amazing, but nothing was better than FIFA back in the day.
Ah, son of a biscuit.
By the way, Jess, Curtis has not lost one game.
No,
every
he
game
hasn't.
We've done, he literally is undefeated right now.
You know what?
Unless I'm on Mason in Ireland.
You come up with a game. You're going to eventually take over Alan Sliwa's job. Hey, I hope you keep me as producer, by the way. But you come up with the
You're
game now. Give someone else a chance.
Curtis, let me just say this, too. Every time after the show ends, right, what do I tell you about halftime? What do I say? What do I say?
You're always upset that I beat you.
No. When I say, hey, Curtis, feel free to hop in. Like, if you have a game, throw a game out there, okay? And every single time we do halftime, not one game from you. Not one. Can we get one? Can we get on Tuesday? Lakers talk on Monday. On Tuesday, can you have a game for us, please?
I guess.
All right.
I'll think
of one. You have all weekend to think about it. Jess, keep going, buddy.
All right, before I got one more for you before, but before we go on to that last one, George Sedano, Florida International.
Florida International. Okay.
According to the Wikipedia page, which we all know is always correct.
100% it is. I thought for some reason is he a Miami fan? I know he's from
Big
there,
time.
But I'm saying like,
oh okay, yeah,
so he's a U of M or whatever they're called, something mm-hmm. like that. Yeah. Okay, let's keep going.
So, Ellen, today while I was eating my lunch, I was looking to find something quick to watch.
What'd you eat?
So I go,
what'd you eat?
I ate chicken taquitos and these little like vegan, they're like cauliflower crusted, like kind of like mini Hot Pockets. It was a small lunch. Good.
You guys realize that I'm supposed to go no added sugar for 2 weeks starting Monday.
Hey, I told you, right? To go for it.
Yeah,
actually, she emailed me. I'm going to give you guys an update later. I asked. I need a little help here, so she emailed me. Keep going, Jess.
Nice. All right. So that kind of – I started watching a video. It was the top 10 movies that got screwed over because of a decision change.
Top 10 movies that got screwed over because of a decision change. Okay.
That's basically something along the lines of along the production of the movie. This one thing was changed, and it basically messed up the whole movie. Now, I watch random stuff like this all day on YouTube. Mm-hmm. I live off YouTube. So I want to ask you, what is the most random thing you've ever watched on YouTube?
Okay, most random thing. So YouTube can easily take you down a rabbit hole. We 100%. Are all very, very aware of this. I got sucked in one time. It was cats getting scared out of their mind. Okay, so like something happened. Okay, so whatever it could have been their owner scared them, or they looked into a mirror and it caught them off guard and they took off. Whatever the case is, that might be the most random one I've seen. But I will tell you, I recommend it to everybody. It's hilarious, hilarious. what do you guys got? What do you guys got?
I mean, I watch everything from like random videos like that, like, you know, top 10 worst decision choices by movie stars, a lot of wrestling stuff. But the most random one I've watched would be this one time. I don't know how it popped up. It just popped up on like your recommended. It mm-hmm. was a live stream of a train.
A live stream of a train?
Of a train, like one of those big trains that just goes. But
it just went?
Route. Like through the, it was like I saw one through the Rocky Mountains, another one through like
no, this that's giant, badass. That's badass. I like that.
I got sucked into that for a good hour just watching that. There was no sound, no nothing. It was just the train.
Are there
just,
comments? Just are there comments? The people commenting on the side?
You know what? I don't think there was because I don't remember how many people watched. But I just remember getting sucked in. Always had an infatuation with trains ever since I was a little kid. I love Thomas the Train. That's my stuff right there.
All right, so, listen. I will say you could put in some really random things on YouTube that are like live. So you can, for example, you can get footage from NASA, right? And it's like a live cam from space. Okay, so you can get live footage from different parts of the world. Like, there's actually some pretty fascinating things, and all it is just live of nothing. But it can be interesting. Like, it could suck you in. Let's put it that way.
Oh, definitely. I saw, you know, you said of the moon. I actually saw a video the other day. I think it was on Reddit where it was just a telescope just at the moon. But you can clearly see it was like a super good camera, a telescope. However they did it, it was good. But it was just that. It was a static shot of the moon. And everyone's commenting, oh, look
I'll
at that.
I'll sit
moon.
And watch that. I could sit and watch that. I'm with you. I'm with you on that. All right, good
that's
stuff.
That's all I got, Alan.
Good stuff, Jesse. Thank you, brother. Let's do this when we come back. So, all right, we're going to go from that. I got to get back into the NBA for a quick second because Brian Windhorst had – I've told you guys this a couple times. Every time we get updates, I'm going to try and play them. You know how curious I am about the NBA. Plus, you guys hear what Dabo Sweeney had to say? Kind of interesting comments about college football this upcoming season. So we'll get into all that coming up next. Stay right here. This is the Sliwa Show on 710 ESPN.
Geico has the insurance industry-leading app that lets you manage your policy anytime, anywhere, which means that Geico is always there for you. If only everyone was always there for you. Like animal control, when you're cornered in your garage by an angry possum.
Hi, me again. You guys said you would be here about an hour ago, and I think the possum is starting to get angry. Listen, I thought if I fed it, it would go away, but now it is ripping holes in the drywall and making some sort of nest. Just call me back.
Geico, always there for you with savings and the industry-leading mobile app.
John, I appreciate you not tuning in, and even though you don't tune in, I'm going to still plug what you asked me to plug. 530-ESPN-710. If you want to leave a voicemail for John Ireland and Steve Mason, and they may play it on their show. But John will not know whether I plugged it or not because John doesn't listen to the show. But that's okay. Appreciate you guys tuning in. We still got a solid we'll go till 9 o'clock. I have an interesting interview coming up here. Danny Santana, who writes for Front Office Sports. We're going to look at things more from the business side of things, the effects that some of this cancellation of games, the hiatus that we're on in all the sports right now, the effect that it had on advertisers out there, the sponsorships, the partnerships. So a little different angle of a take. So we'll do that coming up here in a few. Okay, so I think I've sat on pins and needles waiting for every bit of information when it comes to the sports world. And listen, it's way too early to tell. If you're following the news right now, you know that we're not going to get sports for a while, but they're playing out all these different scenarios. Brian Windhorst, who we've spent a lot of time talking to and a lot of time listening to every time he hops on SportsCenter, was kind of playing out not scenarios, but just the confidence level right now from the NBA, from players, from executives out there of still getting that chance to complete the season for 2020.
It's been a bad week. I think there was optimism about progress a week ago. And some things that have happened this week have turned it south about what could happen. A big factor was what happened in China, where they halted the return of their league. And one of the big reasons is because they really believe that they just tested the players' temperature all the time, that it would work. And the Chinese are finding that asymptomatic carriers are causing maybe a second wave in that country. And they have just slammed the brakes on sports. And the talks between the players' union and the league this week, I've talked to both sides of this issue, and it is clear that the NBA is angling to set up a deal that enables them to shut the season down. Now, they don't have to do that yet, and the way they're negotiating, they're leaving themselves an option either way, but they are not having talks about how to restart the league. They are having financial talks about what would happen if the season shuts down, and I think there's a significant amount of pessimism.
So that is that's Brian Windhorst right there. And when you hear Brian kind of say it that way, and I've heard both sides of it. Last week we had Brian on, and there was some optimism. The optimism was, let's focus on Chinese Basketball Association. This is how far they're getting. Hey, there might be a good chance. Chinese Basketball Association, they've already canceled it now for 4 months is how long things have stopped in China. But they are they're in a different position than we are. So we're way behind from where they were 4 months ago or whatever the case is. So we'll see what ends up happening with COVID-19. But that's probably the first time I've heard Windhorst be that. I don't know if negative is the right word or pessimistic or whatever the case is, but he did not sound very confident, at least at this point, that this was moving in the right direction. The biggest issue he mentioned was the testing side of things. Here's Brian Windhorst.
There comes a point where you go too far, where you start to look at damaging two seasons. And that is what the NBA is trying to evaluate. And they do have runway here. I do think that they could, if they had to, go into August or September to finish this season. But I'm not sure they feel confident about that right now. And a big factor is testing. We just don't have the testing. At some point, not only does it have to be a test that's quick and can evaluate whether a player is healthy enough to enter a game, you have to know whether you have the tests available so that you're not taking them away from people who need them. And so right now, that's not here. If in 6 or 8 weeks it is here, we could have a different conversation, but the league is preparing for that answer to be no.
All right, so we'll wait and see, like we have been doing, and we'll wait at home because that's what we're supposed to be doing. You know, I've played out these different things where we talk about scenarios for what the season could look like, how many games the Lakers, or just the NBA in general, how many games would they play? Would they be ready to just come back and get right into the postseason? The reality is nobody knows anything. All we could do is kind of work with the information that we have. So we'll continue to, I guess you could say, stay on top of it. You know, I know any news that comes out, we're all going to know about it. But I said this to AK, the can't get it wrong part, I mean it. You know, there really is no way that you can't get it wrong. Let's put it that way. So when we do cross this bridge down the road, they can't start too early because they're trying to play as many games as possible, or they've already lost so much revenue, or there's pressure from whatever, executives, owners. All that stuff is going to have to be secondary. I mean, you can actually, this is a perfect example. You can use our economy right now. 6.6 million people filed for unemployment last week. The results came out, you know, this week. 6.6 million. That just proves to show that even with this much pressure of people wanting to get back to work, they want to, you know, have income, they want to support their family, this is crazy how many people are out of jobs right now. Everybody wants to get back to that normal life. NBA is no different. But when that bridge is crossed down the road, when it's crossed down the road, it's certainly going to be one of those predicaments where you got to just do it at the right time. You can't let any of that other pressure try and influence you. Okay, we got I mentioned Danny Santana, front office, sports.com. He's coming up next. We get a chance to talk a little bit more from the business side of things on the effects it's having, not just on teams, but also the advertisers out there, the sponsorships out there. I think it's an interesting angle to take. We'll do that coming up next. Stay right here, The Sliwa Show on 710 ESPN. All right, welcome back to The Sliwa Show. Greatly appreciate Danny Santana hopping on the show. Danny works for frontofficesports.com. Danny, you had a great article, and I think it's kind of a different take to take, a little bit unique. I know you're more on the business side, more on the marketing side, but I appreciate you taking a few minutes to hop on The Sliwa Show.
Yes, pleasure's all mine. Happy to be on.
Okay, so I come more from the background from the business side. So I spent years on more of that business end, and I think there's some curiosity from my end. I'm sure there's sports fans that are out there right now where when you start breaking down all the different levels of cancellation of games, you also know that, okay, there's a ton of sponsorships, there's partnerships, there's naming rights, there's venues have sponsorships, whatever the case is. I just want to know from your perspective, how has the shutdown of sports affected the sports advertising world?
Well, first and foremost, it's hard to do any sports marketing if there aren't any live sports, right? Yep. So I think when you look at, you know, brands, experiential marketing has definitely taken a hit, or another way to say that is just marketing done at, you know, live events. So efforts, plans, money spent to sort of put on these activations, whether it be at March Madness or who knows, the Kentucky Derby, you know, these plans have basically just fallen off the face of the earth because of, you know, the coronavirus. And, you know, and then when it comes to like a media ad buy on the media ad buy front, I think, you know, again, you talk about sponsorships, you talk about advertising that, you know, a league, you know, like the NBA is losing, you know, every day that they don't have, you know, their, you know, their best players and their teams out there, you know, playing.
Yeah, it's, I think sometimes we can get caught up from a game perspective. Like a lot of times you pay attention to that, but of course this is all a business. You know, when you walk into these arenas, I mean, Staples Center is obviously named after Staples. I use the Lakers always as a great example because I'm inside that arena for every home game, but there's concessions, there's, like you mentioned, different partnerships, different advertisers. Have most advertisers just stopped messaging to consumers altogether, or is there other things that they're doing now that, you know, sports is, there is no live events?
Yeah, I think that, you know, for the most part, they've relied on social media, just whatever digital channels they have, to advertise and however they can. I think there is a percentage of brands that have just decided in this period to just not say anything.
Yeah.
They may be dealing with like issues in their own companies. And then there are brands that, you know, they're still open for business and they're just like, hey, like, the world's going through this, you know, unprecedented pandemic. And it's like, hey, but, you know, we'll still, you know, deliver food to you. You know, our restaurants may be closed, but we'll still deliver for free. You know, we've all seen marketing like that. And then, of course, then you have like the brands who are, you know, it's called, you know, social responsibility marketing, or you know, I believe that's the term. And essentially it's like catering, you know, and addressing coronavirus head on, you know, saying sure. that, you know, messages of unity and, you know, helping out people on the front lines, or, you know, healthcare workers. And then there's another level of, you know, we see numbers of brands, you know, committing, pledging to make, you know, masks, hand sanitizer, you name it, everything that's needed. So, you know, there's definitely lots of different approaches. But I don't think one is right and one is wrong. I think every company has to make it the best decision for themselves.
What companies, can you give some specific examples? Are there some companies right now doing things that maybe you could say, when I say taking it as an opportunity to help? Any examples that you could give?
Well, one that was brought up to me for the article was Anheuser-Busch. I mean, they'll be the first to tell you that they're, you know, the world's biggest, you know, sports marketer. They obviously have relationships with all the major leagues, you know, in the U.S. just about. And so what they did, you know, they committed to making hand sanitizer. They basically took $5 million from their planned sports marketing spend and just shifted that to a new partnership with the American Red Cross, right? And that's just one example. You know, some companies are just flat out, and just, you know, in the world we live in right now, unfortunately, it affects multiple industries. You know, we're seeing layoffs across the board, or just, you know, employees being furloughed or dock pay. And, you know, there are companies like Nike, for instance, you know, that on its latest earnings call said that, you know, we're still going to keep paying our employees, you know, their salaries. And I believe there are a couple others that have done that as well. So, again, I think it's what's fascinating about this is that every company has its own strategy, right? Mm-hmm. And so you can sort of group them together, because at the end of the day, you can only do so many things. But there's definitely more than even 2 to 3 ways to even fake this pandemic.
Danny Santana hopping on with frontofficesports.com. It's got a great article just talking about how the advertising side of things, all these companies that were advertising to sports marketing, obviously all that came to a halt once all the live games stopped. I kind of put this the best way I can. So I think it is also some of these companies that we're referring to, a lot of them can't even be open in times like this, right? I mean, we're talking about restaurants. I know, like you said, you can you can grab food to go, but you mm-hmm. can't be sitting down at restaurants and so forth. What of some of these companies are, what industries, I guess, is the better question. What industries maybe are finding themselves more busy now because of the current conditions rather than before?
So I don't know about more busy, but, you know, the second you asked that question, I immediately thought of esports. I think that even the stick and ball leagues, as one might call them, or I might call them, you know, you look at NASCAR, you look at the NBA, what the NBA is doing with NBA 2K, what NASCAR has done with iRacing, and essentially just with no live sports, they've turned to esports to connect with fans. MLB has done stuff like this too. And yes, it doesn't necessarily draw the numbers that League of Legends or
you know, some of the bigger or more popular esports titles might. But they're seeing and finding some success there because, quite frankly, everyone's at home and everyone has Wi-Fi. So essentially, you know, they can view that content and they want to be entertained and the leagues are responding. And then on the traditional esports side, esports began online before live audiences and you know, televising these competitions. It was first and foremost made for online viewership, and they've basically returned to their roots. You know, it's funny that, and I speak as someone that does cover esports quite extensively, it's funny that when live sports, you know, when these leagues started canceling, that was one end of the spectrum. But with these esports leagues, it was like, okay, yeah, we're canceling live audiences. We're not canceling everything. We're going to delay it a little bit, like a week or so, but we're going to resume online and just make sure we have the connectivity, you know, whatever connectivity issues we may have, we want to make sure that we have those squared away before we relaunch.
Hmm. Well, you like the 2K idea? I think that one, I actually watched some of that game earlier. It was Kevin Durant versus, I think, James Jones Jr. And, I was more curious, right? There's a curiosity to seeing, okay, does this have some legs? Maybe it does, maybe it doesn't. And like you just mentioned, there's no content right now. There's no programming. So that 900,000 that was the viewership for iRacing, I think that I had read that that was that the highest for esports in the States? I think it was the highest viewership.
I believe highest for esports on TV. I would need to confirm that, but listen, you mentioned curiosity, right? Yeah, that's what it is. I imagine, like, when all these leagues started saying, like, they had these closed-door meetings, and they were like, what are we going to do? You know, they didn't know what they were going to do, and it was like, well, we developed this esports arm, so it's time to use it, you know? This would have been, the third year of NBA 2K, of that league. And, you know, and it's like, okay, we're going to create a whole tournament around it, and now we're doing an NBA players only tournament. So they're expanding on it. You know, they're trying to figure out, while they figure out and we all await when play can resume and what sort of condensed schedule we're going to have and how the playoffs are going to work and when the seasons will end and all that. It's like, all right, cool. We developed this. Let's use it. NASCAR, same thing. NASCAR has actually two, let's call them esports verticals. They have the iRacing, and then they have that's more of the simulation, which has been going on Fox. And then they have a console-based esports league for Xbox and PS4. So it's like these are two properties, right, that it's not like they were like, oh, well, we've never done this before. Let's see how it goes. No, they had experience doing it, and they leveraged their partnerships and their media partnerships, and they're like, you know what, well, let's do this. I mean, what else is on? You know, and it's the right move.
I'll leave you with this, and I appreciate you taking some time. Like I mentioned, Danny Santana, frontofficesports.com, hopping on to talk a little bit about not just esports, but just the advertising world. What happened to, you know, sports marketing? When sports does come back eventually, Danny, what do you think happens? You think will be a kind of an influx where all these companies, all these corporations that were accustomed to being a part of live sports and advertising, you think they all kind of come right back in, or do you think it's going to be everybody taking small steps?
Right. So as for the events that were canceled or postponed for, you know, next year, like when you think about the Olympics or March Madness was obviously canceled. You know, I think there's nothing you can do about that in 2020. But when you talk about the NBA, NHL, which still have to wrap up their season, MLB, which has to get going, yeah, I think existing partners are not going to go away. Existing partners are just going to want enough time to plan for the return, if that makes sense. Mm-hmm. So, mm-hmm. If Adam Silver says, like, okay, you know, NBA is going to be back in 6 weeks, a brand, you know, synonymous with advertising with the NBA or having media buys or sponsoring, right? It's like, okay, cool. We have 6 weeks to throw something together for the first game, which will be, you know, who knows, Lakers Clippers, right? Mm-hmm. And really that's how I see it. I think they're going to have plenty of time. And yeah, I think brands are going to be afforded the opportunity to pick and choose what they want to advertise with, because we are looking, with everything getting pushed back, we are looking at a second half of the year, assuming this pandemic is you know, hopefully behind us. We're looking at a second half of the year that is jam-packed with sports. So yeah. I think right now it's been like three weeks without sports, just about. So then we're looking at a summer period, which is usually kind of dry in terms of sports. You know, you fans pretty much have baseball, and this year they were supposed to have the Olympics. But usually summer is usually like period where there aren't as many sports as like the fall or early spring with March Madness and stuff like that. But no, I mean, that's going to completely change this year. So I think brands will be afforded the opportunity to pick and choose, and maybe bring back some of those plans and activations they had built and, planned ahead of time, and be like, okay, try to resurface them. I think it'll be fascinating when sports come back from a brand perspective. And then from a league perspective, obviously, the second that, you know, balls get dribbled, you know, baseballs get thrown, you know, they get to start making money again. So, you know, the world will keep spinning.
Danny, appreciate it, man. Danny Santana, frontofficesports.com. Great insight. I appreciate the time and great article. All right, bud?
Thank you so much for having me on, man. Have a good weekend.
All right. Greatly appreciate Danny Santana hopping on. Okay, show's almost done here. I had a nutritionist on yesterday, and when we come back, she gave me a challenge, a two-week challenge. I'm going to start it on Monday. Certain things I can have, certain things I can't have, can and can't have. We'll do that coming up next day right here. This is the Sliwa Show on 710 ESPN. What a great song. So I put up on Twitter, I love them both. But were you more of a fan of Nick Van Exel or Eddie Jones? And I think Laker fans know exactly what I'm talking about. That was kind of an era for Lakers basketball where we weren't winning anything, but we loved our Nick the Quick. We loved Eddie. I'm a little surprised here. Eddie Jones way behind. 37% for Eddie, 62% for Nick the Quick. Maybe I shouldn't be surprised. You can feel free to vote on it at Alan Sliwa. So yesterday we have this nutritionist on, Anna Christina. Eat Freely Nutrition. She was very nice to come on and join us and give us some tips. So I told her, I was like, listen, maybe we should do like a challenge, right? I don't know what I'm walking myself into. Maybe we should do some type of a challenge, something that I can follow along with. And her idea was this. She goes, okay, yeah, that's great. How about no added sugars? So in the moment, live radio, I respond with, well, of course, Anna. Of course, I'm going to do no added sugars. No problem at all. Without doing any research or understanding what I'm getting myself into. So I'm going to read off Anna's email from this morning. I asked her, I said, can you give me kind of an idea what I'm getting myself into? So no added sugars include items such as honey, maple syrup, brown sugar, cane sugar, coconut sugar. Okay. And then she says anything that contains the suffix "-ose." So dextrose, sucrose, fructose. Or has the word syrup, cane syrup, fruit syrup, concentrate, fruit concentrate, all that stuff, okay? So I'm like, all right, I don't think I have some of that stuff. So I go in the cupboard, and I start looking at everything that I have, and I'm like, okay, that has it. So you know what, you can't have that cereal. Actually, can't have any cereals. Okay, you can't have that either. I don't know what I'm supposed to eat. Basically, she said this. She said, you can't have even condiments like barbecue sauce, salad dressing, tomato sauce, any flavored yogurt or milk, dried fruit, granola. What's left, Anna? What's left to eat? But she did say, Curtis, you tried saying this yesterday that I can't even have fruit. I can have fruit just because it's a natural source, so I can have fruit. Now, what I can have after that, I have no idea. I looked up some different foods. Basically, fellas, for 2 weeks, if I'm going to do this, and I don't know how confident you guys are in me being able to accomplish this, but I hope that you guys have some confidence in me. Plain Greek yogurt, apples, peanut butter, salad, avocado, homemade salad dressing. Who's making homemade salad dressing? I don't know who's making homemade salad dressing. Grilled salmon, which I could do. Popcorn, which I love. Hummus and veggies and water. So I think if I'm going to accomplish this starting on Monday, that's going to be my diet for the next 2 weeks. What do you guys think? I could make this happen or it's not going to happen.
That is a fairly thin diet.
Bro, that's tough.
I,
I'm going to tell you.
That's
I warned you.
Tough.
I mean, luckily, a lot of the things that you said there are food that I would eat. But I'll tell you this.
I would eat it, too. I would eat it, too.
I maybe just have the salmon and peanut butter. Actually, no, I don't even think I have peanut butter. I think I have almond butter in my fridge.
In the same dish. Same dish. Just I would have grilled salmon and peanut butter at the same time. But here's the thing. A lot of the times, it's not that those foods – like, I could eat anything. I don't mind. Like, I don't have too many foods that I'm like, no, I don't want that or any of that stuff. But it's the convenience of the food that you have. And a lot of – to be healthy, if I'm right on this, a lot of being healthy is about making your own stuff, you know, because you don't know what restaurants are putting in. You don't know what the ingredients all these other places are making. That part is going to be the challenge.
Well, I mean – we are in a quarantine, so...
Yeah, I
mean,
I think the time you chose to do this makes it even harder than originally.
Or easier in the sense that we're home?
I think it makes it easier because you just got to go to the grocery store once and legit just stock up on everything and then you'll be good.
All right, so that's what's going to start on Monday. How about I'm already pushing it off 2 days? All right, we're coming to an end here. I know, I got to have a last hurrah.
I have faith in you.
Thank you, Curtis. Jesse, Curtis, appreciate it. You guys have a great weekend. LA, thank you for tuning in. Don't forget, Weekend Warriors starting tomorrow. Dr. Clapper from 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. We'll be back on Monday with Lakers Talk. LA, have a great weekend.